Welcome to the Kindle Chronicles, the Friday podcast all about your Kindle. I'm Len Edgerly, and this is episode 110 for Friday, August 27, 2010. We finally had some inclement weather here in Ocean Park this week, which is actually beautiful in its own way. Wild wind and waves are dug away a good part of the beach. There's kind of a cliff of sand heading down to the beach now as a result. But now we're back into gorgeous beach weather, and I'm looking out at some nice umbrellas and a calm sea and hoping I can get the podcast done and get out there and do some Kindle reading on the beach. I recorded the interview this week yesterday, and that was just before the FedEx truck rolled up to the cottage to deliver Darlene's and my pre-ordered Kindle 3s. That was 2 days earlier than expected. As we waited for their arrival, I interviewed her on the front porch to get her impressions of the review copy of the Kindle 3 that Amazon sent to me last week. We had passed it back and forth throughout the week, so you're going to hear two very different views of the new Kindle in this week's interview with one of my favorite guests. In news, the reviews for the new Kindle 3 are in, and at least until an e-ink-screened competitor shakes things up with the new model, it's pretty clear that the Kindle rules. We'll take a look at some of the highlights. Also in news, Andrew Wiley blinked in his stare-down with Random House over taking some of his author's books directly to an exclusive deal on Kindle. Amazon issued another of its Delphic press releases saying how great sales of the Kindle are without ever saying how many Kindles they're actually selling. A Kindle author released numbers that suggest the Kindle store is outselling the Apple iBook store by a ratio of 60 to 1, and internet marketing philosopher and guru Seth Godin announced that he is through with traditional publishing. For the tech tip, I'm going to have my first tech tip specific to the Kindle 3, thanks to an email from listener Paul Levin. In content, I'm going to depart from ebook suggestions and tell you about two Kindle-related podcasts that you might want to check out. With that, let's turn to the news. First up, the reviews are in for the Kindle 3. They're mainly rave reviews. Let's take a look at some examples. David Pogue, in a review in the New York Times titled "New Kindle Leaves Rivals Farther Back," wrote, quote, "The Kindle 3 is ingeniously designed to be everything the iPad will never be, small, light, and inexpensive." Wired's review was cleverly headlined, "Amazon's third generation Kindle keeps the e-reader fire burning." Get that, Kindle, fire, nice. Good work on the headline. Wired summarizes the K3's benefits by stating, "Amazon keeps pace with a more competitive e-reading marketplace with a smaller device, more readable text, yet another improved hardware interface. $139 price for Wi-Fi version will open the door for multi-Kindle families. Battery life is long enough for space shuttle missions." Wired's quibbles listed in the counterpoint they always have at the end of reviews, which is called tired as opposed to wired. They say, quote, "Still the same DRM, no touchscreen navigation. The book light case is too costly." And also, only those with tiniest fingers will avoid hitting the back button when moving the cursor down. Interface for newspaper and magazine still clunky. Fast Company began its review by stating, "The new Kindle, quote, is the best ebook reading device on the market. It's better than the Apple iPad, the Barnes & Noble Nook, the various Sony readers, and certainly better than any smartphone." Mark Warman, writing in the UK's Telegraph, wrote, quote, "Amazon's new Kindle is the first ebook reader that has a credible chance of cracking the mass market. Smaller, cheaper, faster, and better connected than its predecessor, the new Kindle is to the old what the paperback is to the hardback." A number of reviewers criticized the fact that Amazon still does not support the EPUB format on the new Kindle, and some are disappointed that there is no touchscreen or color yet. But by and large, I'd say the new Kindle has had as positive a reception as anyone at Amazon could possibly have hoped for. Until a new model is introduced by a competitor, I think the Kindle is going to be in a class by itself, selling like crazy. What we also know is that there will be new competitors from Barnes & Noble and Sony, according to rumors, and maybe even a new iPad competitor. There's talk of a 7-inch iPad that would be more the size of a book. I bet that by Christmas there will be some new e-readers to compare with a Kindle, and I'm also sure that between now and then, Amazon is going to reveal a few more tricks up their sleeve by way of improvements. Second up in news, Andrew Wiley, a.k.a. the Jackal, because of his notorious reputation as a top literary agent, was talking tough a while back when his exclusive two-year Kindle deal for 20 titles by some of Wiley's most famous authors was announced. But this week came news that the agent and Random House have patched up their disagreement over backlist ebook rights. The result is that Amazon is removing the Random House-related titles that were going to be published as exclusive Kindle books under Wiley's quickly created Odyssey Editions imprint. I just checked today, and I saw that there are still 15 of these Odyssey Editions listed at the Kindle store, including Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Rabbit is Rich by John Updike, and Portnoy's Complaint by Philip Roth. The books that are being removed will return to the Kindle store under Random House's control, according to an August 25th story in the Wall Street Journal by Jeffrey Trachtenberg, but they will also be available on other ebook platforms. It looked to me at the time that Wiley's dramatic move might well have been part of a negotiating ploy with Random House, part of some higher stakes game. And when Random House responded that they would not publish any more books by Wiley-represented authors, that apparently led to some serious talks and an eventual resolution between the two parties. As to what all this means in the overall chess game between the publishers and Amazon, time alone will tell. Item 3, on the eve of the first shipments of the Kindle 3, Amazon on August 25th issued a press release stating that, quote, more new generation Kindles were ordered in the first 4 weeks of availability than in the same time frame following any other Kindle launch, making the new Kindles the fastest selling ever. As usual, this was not followed up by any actual numbers, but that's the way Amazon likes to keep its competitors guessing. I'd love to see actual numbers, the way Apple brags about sales of its products, but even without them, it's pretty clear the new Kindles are not only generating good reviews, but record sales as well. Item 4, author J.A. Conrath, who's been a guest here on the show, generated quite a bit of internet buzz with one line in a long post about ebook sales. In a blog post on August 18th, Conrath wrote, quote, according to my numbers, Apple is a very small part of the ebook market. I sell 200 ebooks a day on Kindle. On iPad, I sell 100 a month. That calculates to a 60-to-1 margin in favor of the Kindle store. It's just one data point from one author, but I think the reason it was picked up so widely is that it confirmed a growing sense that the Apple iBook store is not the liveliest place in the world of ebooks these days. Amazon's store still offers more than 10 times the number of titles, approximately 670,000 titles, compared with well under 100,000 titles for the iBook store at last report. And finally, in news, internet marketing visionary Seth Godin on August 23rd announced in his blog, Seth Godin, that's SethGodin.typepad.com, that, quote, Linchpin will be the last book I publish in a traditional way. Linchpin, as you may know, is Godin's most recent book, and I recommend it highly. It happens to be the book that inspired me to take action that led to the creation of ebooksfortroops.org. In a lengthy post worth reading, Godin explained, quote, traditional book publishers use techniques perfected 100 years ago to help authors reach unknown readers using a stable technology, books, and an antique and expensive distribution system. The thing is, now I know who my readers are. Adding layers or faux scarcity doesn't help me or you. For this week's tech tip, Paul Levin emailed me this morning from Danbury, Connecticut, the following item about the Kindle 3, which I tried out and want to pass along for the benefit of those of you lucky enough to have the new Kindles in your hands to explore. Quote, while not touted as one of the big new features of the new Kindle, the delivery of personal documents via MyKindle at free.kindle.com over Wi-Fi makes me giggle with delight, Paul wrote. Let me explain why. He continues, my wife and I share a single Kindle account on her Amazon account. What this meant for me was that in the past, when I sent a document for conversion via the free option, a link would be sent from Amazon to her email. She would then forward the link to me, or if I was home, I'd go fishing through her email to retrieve the link. I would then have to log onto her Amazon account with her password to be able to use the link. Finally, I could then retrieve the book, hook up the USB, and transfer the document to my Kindle. Now, I simply send the document to mykindle@free.kindle.com. Now, that address, he's obviously got his own name that would go in the My Kindle space. Each of us has an email address associated with each specific Kindle, so that's the address he's talking about there. So he says that he sends his document to that address, turn on my Kindle's wireless, which automatically connects to our Wi-Fi here at home, and abracadabra, the document magically appears on my Kindle. How great is that? Paul concludes, this new K3 is just a wonderful device. Even the feel of the buttons and switches exude quality. My K2 now seems like a pre-production prototype in comparison. Kudos to Amazon. As I said, I did try this out on my Kindle 3, and it really did work like a charm. You can wirelessly transfer documents to your Kindle 2, but it costs 15 cents a megabyte to use the 3G network. With the Wi-Fi, where the internet connection is paid for by somebody other than Amazon, they are now enabling free wireless transfer of converted personal documents, which is very cool. Time now for the interview. Darlene and I have both been using the Graphite Kindle 3 review copy that Amazon sent to me a week ago. She has been an avid Kindle user since the original Kindle, and she reads probably three times the number of books that I do, so she's pretty serious about her Kindle reading. But her Kindle use is very different than mine, so I always enjoy getting her perspectives on the show, especially when new hardware is out. During our conversation on the front porch of the cottage yesterday, August 26th, I began by asking her about what I consider to be the number one improvement in the new Kindle, its screen contrast and readability.
It certainly is a lot better, but the screen quality didn't bother me before, and in reading a book, I didn't really notice any difference. But it's wonderful. I mean, you know, when I look and compare the two of them, it's amazingly better.
Well, now that you've read on the review copy we were using, and have you gone back to read on the Kindle too and had a sense, oh, this screen is too murky?
No, I haven't. And so that's interesting. And I've been really going back and forth because you're not letting me use the review copy very much. You keep taking it back away from me to do a test or something. So I am going back and forth a lot more than I will once I get my new one. And no, I'm not finding a lot of difference.
I think that's probably true for me because I've been going back and forth too because you're hogging the review copy so much. But I don't really mind reading on one or the other. I think when I first pick up the new one, I think, oh, this screen is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to make the old one just seem worthless.
Yeah, I think that's true. And we were just talking about the ability to space the lines differently. And I realized that when on the new one, you can space the lines. And we put them on large spacing between it. And that made it much more similar to how the spacing is on my old Kindle. And that really felt good. That was very... Yeah, it made me want to read more.
Yeah, there are a lot more controls now. Why don't you turn it on so we can see? But The Kindle 3 gives some new ways to control how the page looks when you're reading it. So just press that AA button down there, the font button. You've got the same size choices. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But now you can choose regular, condensed, or sans serif typeface, the three different looks of the actual type. And then what Darlene's just talking about is line spacing can be small, medium, or large. Words per line, you could do that on the Kindle too. But that line spacing does give you a sense of is there more air or not between the lines.
Right. And on the Kindle too, it was the large line spacing.
I guess so. So these ones that they've added give you the chance to put more lines on the page.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, didn't you say when you counted the lines on the page that there were two more lines?
Yeah, I think that's because somehow the new screen bumps the type up closer to the top of the case or the top of the screen where it meets the case and also closer to the bottom. So they're just although the screen looks like it's identically the same size, the 6-inch diagonal, there's more active space on the screen, so there. When I counted on one page where we had the settings the same, it looked like there were two more lines on the Kindle 2, Kindle 3. I'm sorry.
And one of them is because it doesn't tell the name of the book now.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And I think that's a good, you can find the name of the book if you press menu, but when you're just reading your book, you don't see that line at the top that has the battery indicator and the name of the book. So it's a little bit closer to that disappear into the book.
Well, speaking of that, the battery indicator, so where's that at?
Well, you have to hit menu.
Oh.
Or at the home screen, you can see it.
Huh. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Well, I suppose it doesn't matter. It is their lens now.
Well, hit next page.
Oh, and then it goes away. So when you first open it, it shows the name of the book and it shows the battery.
Yeah.
And then it goes away. And I suppose if the battery lasts so much longer, it's not such a big deal. I'm always watching my battery to make sure I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about speed. That's another one of the improvements. Did you notice any improvement in speed on the new one?
You know, when you're really reading and pushing the button, it isn't noticeable at all. But when we did that test, it was really fun to watch how much faster it was.
Yeah.
So it is quite a bit faster, but it's not anything. You're not speed reading, so it doesn't really matter if it takes an extra fraction of a second to get to a page.
I think where I notice it, because I do a lot more highlighting and notes than you do, and it just seems like the cursor moves faster and there's no perceptible delay in pressing the five-way controller and having something happen on the screen. So that overall, there seems to be a noticeable speed increase to me. Battery lasts a month if you don't have the Wi-Fi on. That could be handy when we're in Africa.
Have you plugged this in at all? Because I'm looking at the battery. It is about a fourth. And
I haven't plugged it in for a while.
For a while, meaning have you plugged in at all since we got it?
I think probably.
Okay.
But we've had the wireless on, too, and the Wi-Fi, so we're seeing some. Yeah, I mean, it does use the battery. Plus, the other thing is that the case that came with it has the built-in light, and that uses the battery there's no separate battery for the light, and we've been using the light quite a bit at night, so. You didn't immediately like the way it felt in your hand because the buttons on the new Kindle, they're narrower, and they sort of grip the edge of the device. I like the fact that there's now a forward and a back on both sides, but you found in holding it that there was some getting used to it.
Yes. When I read a book on it, I tried to use it like I did the old Kindle, which meant that you sort of cradled it in the palm of your hand and then your finger would come up and hit the button. And because the button rounds the edge and it doesn't go very far into the case, that was a really unpleasant way to try to turn the page. And I just kept fighting it. Every page I turned, I was aware of it, and I kind of got a cramp in my finger and stuff. And so what I realized is if you hold the case up higher in your hand so that your thumb rests over where it rounds, that button rounds, you can actually press it with your first knuckle of your thumb, which sounds sort of silly, but it makes a huge difference because then it's balanced better in your hand, and it just works. But it took me It's taken me a few minutes to play with it today to figure out how to do that. And so I guess my feeling is that it's going to take a while. You're going to use this a little differently than you use the Kindle 2, just how you hold it and how you push the buttons and stuff. And at first I said, this is just such a shame. They really need to go back to the old button. But now using my knuckle, it's actually fine. And I can reach up and I'm thinking it's okay. It's just, but it is, but I read that whole book and I never forgot that I had this device in my hand, which is not a good thing.
And before, that's one thing that would happen. You just forget that you were holding a Kindle.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the words on the page were the only thing that mattered. And I struggled the whole book with trying to figure out how to get the buttons the way I wanted them. So.
But you've discovered the Darlene grip now. We may have to do a video to demonstrate it to people.
It's true. And we don't have any way to weigh this in the case that has the light in it. But it feels heavier than my old case on the Kindle 2.
You got a nice leather M-Edge case.
Right. And I'd be curious to know if it's the same or, you know, how much heavier it is.
Now we're going to have a chance to test that because in the Kindles that may be arriving any minute, I ordered a case without a light, and then we got a case with a light for you. We don't have our kitchen scale here, but it'll be interesting to see the difference in weight between those two, because it's got to add something to put the light in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what I notice it in my wrist when if I'm leaning my arm against my body, or if I can rest it on something, rest the Kindle on something, it's not a problem at all. But a lot of times if you're laying in bed, and you're actually laying down in bed as opposed to sitting up with your knees up, you're just holding it in the air. Mm-hmm. And that's, I find I read for hours like that. And this is heavy. Mm-hmm. I notice it in my wrist. So I'm really curious to see if I adjust to it. Maybe my wrist will get stronger. I don't know. If your case will be more to my liking, or if other people will come out with even lighter cases, or maybe not use a case.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too. I have been surprised because this new Kindle is noticeably smaller and lighter. I've just been sliding it into that bag I carry, which has a pocket that's like perfectly shaped for it. And then if I've got a sports coat or a suit coat, to just put it in that inside pocket. And I'm wondering if there might be more times when I'm just having it with me without a case.
I can see doing that also, although I would be concerned about sticking it in a purse or a tote or something without some protection, because you know you're slamming all this stuff in there, and I remember when they first came out and you and I broke a couple of them. Yeah. I don't want to do that again.
Right. Well, the original Kindle was a little more fragile, I think, that way. But yeah, it might be that, you know, there are cases some of the companies make that are basically like slip sleeves, so mm-hmm. that they're for mm-hmm. carrying it, and then you would take it out and you could read it outside of the case.
Yeah, something that had just a little padding over the screen and nothing else. That would be fine.
You know, my favorite case is it's one I got originally, a Cole Haan floppy leather, and it doesn't even connect to the little spokes. It just has rubberized fabric at the four corners, and it's so soft. I just love the feel of it, and I hope there's going to be one like that. I checked Cole Haan's website, and they didn't have anything like that, and checked M-Edge. Their cases tend to be have more substance to them. I mean, they're really well-made cases, but they don't have that particular style that I like, so I'll be on the lookout for that. What would be your perfect case that you hope somebody designs?
A really bright colored light, well, it could almost be kind of plasticky case, because part of it is just finding it. And I've got this M-Edge bright pink one now that's probably, I'd be nice if it was a little lighter, but it's wonderful, and I find that I can find it.
You need a flashing lighter on it or something.
That's right. Yeah, we need something that you can push the button and it beeps.
Yeah, I think there needs to be an iPhone app that you could find your Kindle with.
It's not a bad idea. We've been known to lose them in odd places.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about earlier is there's a microphone in this Kindle. And I don't think there's anything functioning with it yet, but somewhere down the road with Kindle apps or Amazon itself, can you think of anything that you'd like to do with a microphone on your Kindle?
I can't really imagine why they would put a microphone on the Kindle. But
well, you could make comments. You're reading something and you press a button, you say, "This is the best passage I've ever read," and then put it up on Twitter or Facebook.
Oh, that's something you would do. Yeah, that could be useful.
Or you could make audio notes that somehow you'd be able to listen to later. I don't know. I mean, it's must have been quite an investment to build that capability into the hardware. I imagine somewhere somebody at Amazon is figuring out what they're going to be doing with a microphone on the Kindle.
So, well, what else is important to you that we haven't talked about?
I love the Wi-Fi. I don't know exactly why, but it gives me a real charge if I'm somewhere that has Wi-Fi, like here at the cottage, I can find the Wi-Fi on the new Kindle, hop on it, and I haven't done an actual head-to-head test, but I'm sure that when I'm looking something up on Wikipedia, it's faster over the Wi-Fi. I don't know, it just feels cozy. It's like I love seeing the name of the Wi-Fi network show up on my Kindle. Hmm. But 3G is great, and when you're down on the beach away from the Wi-Fi, you've got that.
So tell me about the browsers. Are the browsers better on this one?
Well, we did that video test. I think that the new browser, it's called WebKit, and when we tested it, it does seem to get to a page faster than the Kindle 2's browser. And it has capabilities, from what I've been reading about, that it's an open source browser, and There may just be improvements that happen to the browser. To me, you know, I don't use my Kindle to browse much. I mean, I like the fact I can go to Wikipedia and I use that. Sometimes I use Google, but I'm not going to the New York Times webpage on my browser. It's just, even if it's better, it's not good enough to do that.
And then how about PDFs?
PDFs, you know, what I don't know about PDF structure and all the ins and outs of it would fill an ocean, but it does seem that there are some new capabilities on some PDF files, depending on the format of the file, so that not only can you read it natively on this Kindle, which means you can just drag it onto the Kindle from your desktop, but you can look up words, you can highlight, you can do notes. And that seems significant to me with Google Editions coming, because I think it's likely that this new huge source of ebooks that Google is going to start, you can probably buy one in a PDF format, and hopefully it'll be a PDF format that you can load to your Kindle and have the dictionary, have the notes, have the highlights, and have all the rest. I'll be very interested to see if that's the case. I think that there are a lot of books in PDF format on the internet. One commenter on the YouTube video we put up said, you know, most PDFs, you can't do this dictionary and the other things, even on the new Kindle. But some you can, because I found one on Planet PDF, and it works. So I think that's possibly a pretty significant improvement on the new Kindle, and I'm just going to have to learn more about what types of content are available that way and what reading them is like.
So how is this better for the visually impaired, this Kindle? There's some changes I heard.
Yeah, you've got the ability now to change a setting through the menu where it will speak the position on the menu. So it'll say, you know, we're going to turn the wireless off or this or that. And when you're on your home page, it'll read out the items on your home page. So with some learning, someone who's visually impaired or blind would still have to kind of know where the keys are. But there is now a really big increase in the accessibility because of the changes they made on the new Kindle.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So what's your overall evaluation of the new Kindle?
It's a drip, drip, drip of all kinds of improvements, and it's a little bit frustrating to evaluate because there isn't one huge one that just knocks your socks off and you can say, oh yeah, this is the Kindle that does X, and therefore you should obviously put your old one on eBay and get this new one. I think the screen quality is close to sort of a killer improvement like that. Anybody that looks at the new screen versus the old screen is going to want the new screen. But all of these small changes that add up, I think what they've done successfully is anybody who has evaluated it closely and compared it to both the Kindle 2 and the Nook and the Kobo and all the others, because of all these improvements, this device is clearly the best e-reader on the market. There's just no getting around it when you start listing off all the things that it can do that the others can't do, and that it's still priced, you know, the $139 Wi-Fi version is still among the cheapest e-reader devices out there.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm not sure I would go from my present Kindle to this Kindle. I mean, I've got one coming and I'm going to love it, but unless the size really bothers you. I mean, I was so excited about the size because you can put it in a smaller purse and have it with you. And so for women especially that say, gee, there's times I don't take my Kindle with me because I don't know how to carry it, it's certainly worth it to get the smaller Kindle.
Yeah.
But besides that, if you just read like I read and you are not having any trouble taking it with you, there's no really reason to jump into the Kindle 3. I mean, it'll be there when you need to change it, but there's nothing so drastic about it. But I think besides the size, for just someone who reads, that would make you feel like you had to have it tomorrow. I mean, I've already promised my Kindle 2 to someone, and I'm sort of feeling reluctant about that, oh, I'm going to give this up. You know, it's like it's so perfect. So I'm really curious to see what the new one looks like that's white, because the black to me, it just isn't, this sounds so weird, but the black to me is not as easy to use.
Well, we'll see. We'll know in a little while if the new white one makes you feel a little bit more enthusiastic about giving up your Kindle 2.
That's so weird. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Why don't you give the Kindle 3? Who are you giving the Kindle 2 to?
I don't know. Either my sister is going to switch up, or my friend in Africa. We're gonna take one to her.
Could take her the Kindle 3.
Yeah, and then she'll come and buy her own when she comes back to the United States in December. But I just thought it would be nice for her to use my archives and read some stuff and just see if it really is what she thinks it's going to be like for her. Anyway, we'll see.
Well, they're selling like hotcakes. Amazon's release yesterday said that they've sold more of these in the first 4 weeks than any other Kindle, and the delivery seems to be stretching out a little. It's a little hard to tell because it stretches out, but if you order now, obviously there's going to be some time frame for the shipping, so I don't really know how to evaluate that. I think they're still, looks like they're being able to keep up with demand, and they did it. They're shipping the first ones 2 days early, so ours is going to get here today instead of in a couple of days.
Oh, great. I can't wait to see it.
Me too. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. This is fun.
The FedEx truck arrived shortly after that conversation with Darlene, but unfortunately there was a mix-up, and we received two graphite Kindles instead of one white and one graphite. So we'll be sending one back and waiting till September 17th for her to have a chance to see if that white version will increase her enthusiasm about the Kindle 3. As I think about her ambivalence about moving up to the new Kindle, I realize that it makes sense because of how much more she's used her Kindle 2 than I have. It's not surprising that she's become attached to it, almost like an extension of her arm, compared to the lighter use and attachment I formed to my Kindle. I have no doubt that within a few weeks she is going to become as enamored of the new model, especially if the perfect cover gets developed by someone with an illuminating bulb, bright colors, and the ability to have it still be light as a feather. For content this week, I'm going to depart from my usual focus on ebooks for your Kindle and instead alert you to two new Kindle-related podcasts. The first is Ebook Ninjas, which features conversations about ebooks between Joshua Talent, owner and founder of Ebook Architects, and Toby Stevenson, who works at Ebook Architects as senior developer. Their first two episodes are up, and you can subscribe at the iTunes store or listen on the show notes page, ebookninjas.com. Here's a brief excerpt from the first episode of the podcast, and in it, Toby asks a question which leads to a response by Joshua.
Why do you think Kindle was able to take the Mobi format and succeed with it?
No, I think Amazon really grabbed a hold of the format because they knew they could do whatever they wanted to do with it. They've succeeded with it because of their ecosystem, not because of the format itself or what the format can do, but just because of the hardware and the software, kind of how they make it work. They kind of make the format invisible to people. You know, whereas with Barnes & Noble and Apple even, they're trying to make everybody remember, hey, this is EPUB, this is the industry standard format, this is, you know, everybody else is using. Amazon just kind of said, you know, we don't really care if people know what the format is. We want them to think Kindle when they think ebooks. And so they don't publicize the format, they don't talk about the format.
A lot of branding going on.
A lot of branding. And it for the consumers, for most consumers who buy a Kindle, I don't think the format really matters to them. All they care about is reading ebooks.
Yeah. In their books.
Joshua and Toby continue their examination of e-readers in episode 2, which I haven't had a chance to listen to yet. That was uploaded last night. And he emailed me that they plan to keep to a weekly schedule going forward. If you haven't given a thumbs up for the South by Southwest interactive panel that Joshua and I have proposed for next year, I hope that you'll go to panelpicker.sxsw.com and give us your support, because this will increase the chances that we will survive the extremely competitive process of being chosen to do a panel at the conference next March 11th through 15th in Austin, Texas. The other promising podcast that I want to recommend to you is not up on the iTunes directory yet, but you can have a listen at unrulyguides.com/category/talk. Roxanne McHenry and Suzanne Parrott have 3 episodes of their podcast up, and the podcast really complements the content on their blog, which offers do-it-yourself guide to e-publishing tips. Topics include editing, cover design, digital formatting, and marketing. They're in a similar area to ebook archiving. architects the business which Joshua has formed. And Joshua's business is quite a bit more established at this point. He's got some, has hired at least one employee, maybe more, and they're both offering good help for any of you who are interested in publishing your own work on Kindle and on other ebook forms. In this excerpt from the latest episode of the Unruly Guides podcast, Roxanne talks about the strategy of writing your ebook as a blog post using a tool like WordPress's new plugin, anthologize.org.
Sometimes it just seems like too big of a task to look at the empty page or to even start on that outline. And so one way to bypass all of this is to use a blog in order to format and organize your writing, which you can then turn into an ebook. In the post that I have on Unruly Guides, I suggest that you turn your blog into either a PDF format, which is the most common format, or you can use a new plugin called Anthologize, which, by the way, I apologize, last week I kept calling it Authorize. It's not. It's Anthologize, and the site is at anthologize.com. And this promising plugin allows you to take posts or pages on your blog and turn it into an ebook in EPUB format, which if you want to publish on the Kindle and Amazon, you could convert that EPUB formatted file into a .mobi or .azw file pretty easily.
So these two offerings join a growing fraternity or sorority of Kindle-related podcasts that you might want to check out in addition to the Kindle Chronicles and my other podcast, TheReadingEdge.com. Another one that I've mentioned in the past that features book discussions of Kindle titles and lots of entertaining attitude is Kindle Women, which is available at iTunes and at their blog, KindleWomen.com. Time now for your comments. This first one is from Yisro Parker in Santa Fe, New Mexico, a longtime listener who writes, I came across this new app, which I thought you should take a look at if you haven't already. It's named Inkling, and I think it's a good glimpse at the future of textbooks on e-reader devices, in this case the iPad. I recommend downloading some of the free chapters and giving it a drive around the block. The free chapter from Biology is especially good. The app capabilities include search, notes, highlights, and glossary. I know that poetry and fiction are two of your more central interest, but you often cast your net fairly wide when it comes to the capability and promise of ebooks and e-readers. With continuing appreciation for your work and warmest regards, Yisro Parker. I'm glad I'm reading this partly to remind myself to take a look at Inkling. I did download it on the iPad, but in all of the activity around the launch of the new Kindle, I haven't had a chance to experiment with it yet, but I wanted to pass along to you because this is a looks like a especially in the area of textbooks, which I know Jim Jones and others are interested in, this looks like a promising new entry. Al McDermid emailed from Bardstown, Kentucky. He's commenting on the new five-way controller on the new Kindle 3, and he says the navigation scheme is not going to be too hard for me to adopt because it is the same as the one on all my cameras. The camera buttons are round, but that is not going to be any different. In fact, I think the square button will be easier. I'd asked him what was disappointing about the design of the new Kindle 3, and he wrote, I bought a refurbished DX and sent it back because the keyboard was less than useful. The balance was way off and the number row was missing. Well, now I don't think that was an improvement, so I am a little disappointed that the K3 adopted that. So what Al's referring to there is that the Kindle 3, one of the ways that it becomes smaller is that there's one less row of keys, and so the way that you get a number, since you don't have a number row anymore, is you use the SIM button and you'll see numerals there, or, and I had missed this earlier, you can still, the way you do on the DX, press the Alt key and then touch the top row and there's 10 digits there, so you get the numbers that way without using the SYM key. So his next item that he's asking about, he says, I have not heard anything pro or con on whether the initial shift push is sticky or not. Now, what he's talking about there is that if you type a note on your Kindle. If you want the note to be capitalized, the first letter to be capitalized, you have to hold the shift key down while you type the letter. The only time you have to do that is in the first letter of the note. Once you've started the note, the shift key is what Al's calling sticky here. If you press the shift key down, you can let your finger off the shift key and then type a letter, and it will turn up as a capital letter. I just tried the Kindle 3, and Al, I'm sorry to report that there's still that very minor little problem on the Kindle 3 where if you touch the shift key at the start of your note, it won't, the letter won't be capitalized unless you're holding that shift key down. So that one is still in the design. Let's see what else Al mentions here. He's got a good eye for important details. Okay, so Al says one problem with the fact that the shift key is not sticky at the start of a note is that if you're going to type read, the R and the shift are both on the left thumb, so that can be a bit of a problem. Al was also disappointed by the fact that they didn't put the accelerometer into the K3. This is what, on the DX, you can just turn it to one side and it reorients itself on the K3 as well as the K2. You have to go through the fonts button to adjust to landscape mode from the portrait mode. He says it would be convenient to just flip it to see zoomed pictures or tables or whatever that comes out in landscape. Manually selecting is acceptable, just not a number one super grade. My third disappointment, he says, is that they did not make the timeout time user selectable. I like to read during TV commercials, and of course I have to wake it up nearly every time because it went to sleep. I find myself paging back and then forward to keep it awake, not very productive. My Palm Pilot has user selectable timeout, so why not the Kindle? It is not rocket science. He continues, one thing I think they did really well was to make Wi-Fi take over the WhisperNet functions automatically. Turn on WhisperNet, and if Wi-Fi is available, it activates that and not the cell phone. Then if the Wi-Fi drops off, it switches automatically to 3G, so it is no effort on our part to connect to the best signal. It handles all that by itself. I give that a two thumbs up effort on the part of Amazon. They were really thinking on that one. Al says, I pre-ordered the K3 and it's going to cost $200.34 with the tax, as Kentucky is a taxable state. Welcome back from the largest state. This is after I was in Alaska, but Al adds, but then as the Texans say, just wait till the ice melts. Thanks, everyone, for those good comments. If you've heard something in the podcast and would like to join the conversation, please do so. You can email me at podchronicles@gmail.com, or you can also leave a comment on the show notes page at thekindlechronicles.com. I'd like to thank listeners Craig Finlay, Jean Rampla, and Jim Jones for leaving the latest comments supporting that panel proposal that I mentioned earlier for South by Southwest Interactive 2011. Joshua and I plan to speak on surviving the ebook revolution, and if that's chosen, I'll have a great opportunity to work with him on a high-quality session that will no doubt be even more timely in March than it would be if we held it today. If you haven't checked out my other podcast at thereadingedge.com, I hope you'll do so. That's where you will find my 28-minute comparison of e-readers, the Wolf Hall Tournament of e-readers. And I've also added a telephone interview, which I conducted recently with Anthony Antolino, who is Senior Vice President of the company that will soon launch Copia, an ambitious new ebooks platform combining hardware content and social media into one initiative designed to reinvent the way you read. Next week here on the Kindle Chronicles, I'll have an interview that I've already conducted in the past few days with Richard Nash, who is a very creative guy looking to set up a new publishing business, taking advantage of what he sees happening in ebooks, especially with what's happening in the realm of social media. So I think you'll get a lot out of that, and I enjoyed talking with Richard, and that will be the interview for next week, TKC 111. Another thing that I posted recently is a, well, I've done two things recently in video. One was my review of the Kindle 3, and then the other was a comparison of the browsers on the Kindle 2 and the Kindle 3. You can find both of those at YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/Len Edgerly, that'll be my channel with those two. And then I also posted those at thekindlechronicles.com. So if you haven't had a chance to see those, I don't recommend watching those while you're driving or some of the other places. I know people listen to this podcast, but there are some things that are a lot easier to go over in a video format. And when those opportunities come, that's what I'll be doing. So it's been pretty active here at the podcasting cottage with all of the new Kindle 3 news, and we've had a lot of fun working on it. Music for my podcast is Ramonk by Eval Monegat on the Variations in Time and Jazz Perspective CD by Public Transit Recording, courtesy of IODA PromoNet. This is Len Edgerly from Ocean Park, Maine, for the Kindle Chronicles. I really appreciate your taking the time to listen to my podcast. Have a great day. Bye.